It was the year of fans.
The year of engagement.
The year we had great conversation.
It was the year of reruns.
The year JP joined us.
The year of moves.
And the year of joy.
It was the news show.
It was the end of bloopers.
It was the year everything connected.
The year is 2018. The Place, the Babylon Project podcast.
Fans, hang on for another booming episode of the Babylon Project podcast. This is Raul, losing his voice, Wybera, talking to you now with my good friends, Jim Airwood and JP Harvey. How are you two gentlemen tonight?
I'm great. You're losing your voice. I'm losing my mind. So we're even.
At least you can find that.
And I'm ready for some boom.
I think we're going to have plenty of that tonight, JP. Jim, what episode will we be talking about tonight? I'm guessing there's some boom.
Well, yeah, there should be some boom and some, there'll be some literal boom and some figurative boom also. We are discussing Between the Darkness and the Light, and it is the 19th episode of the fourth season.
Oh my God. We're almost done with season four.
We're very close.
And actually, on primary story after tonight, there's two primary story episodes left, and then one sort of special glimpse into the future.
Oh.
Man, if only there was a season five.
Yeah, people keep asking about that. Maybe we can come up with something. We'll pretend.
We'll see what we can do.
Seriously, you've heard me say this before. Season five is a lot better than a lot of people seem to want to give it credit. Most of the complaints about season five come down to either one of two characters.
Yeah. Well, let's not spoil it.
Nope. We'll get there in just a few episodes. So back to Between the Darkness and the Light. Let's go ahead and just hit this rolling, because I have a feeling this is going to be an extended conversation at points. So let's hear some setup.
Archive. Access. Initiated.
Ivanova leads a fleet of White Star ships closer to Earth, confronting President Clark's forces and absorbing them into her fleet along the way. But not all are loyal to Sheridan's cause, and some report to Clark's forces that there will be a rendezvous of Ivanova ships and Delenn's forces. Ivanova learns of this and also finds out that there are new Earth Force ships of an advanced design that will be awaiting for them to engage her in battle. During the battle, the new Earth Force ships that have been enhanced with shadow technology do a lot of damage to Ivanova's White Star, and Ivanova has sustained severe injuries herself. Sheridan, who has just been rescued, takes command of the fleet for the final conflict at Earth. Sheridan is still being questioned, and drugs are being used to try to make him more cooperative. Meanwhile, Garibaldi contacts the Mars Resistance and is about to be killed until he manages to convince Franklin that he has been used by the Psi-Corps to betray Sheridan. After a scan by Lita, it is determined that he is telling the truth. Lita further uses her telepathic abilities to convince the leader of the Mars Resistance that Garibaldi is indeed telling the truth. Garibaldi also tells them that he knows where Sheridan is being held, and they plan to make a rescue attempt. Franklin, Lita, and Garibaldi move through a series of tunnels toward where Sheridan is being held. Despite being stabbed by a guard, Garibaldi leads the trio to the place where Sheridan is being held, and they find him disoriented, but able to move. The four of them shoot their way out of the tunnels, and Sheridan is able to join the fleet. Londo calls a meeting of the non-aligned worlds without Delenn's knowledge and convinces them to back Sheridan. Delenn arrives on the scene just as a vote is taken and all of the non-aligned worlds pledge to provide ships to support Ivanova's fleet. Well, there it is.
Yep, that sounds like we got some boom ahead of us.
There is a lot going on in this episode.
And for the record, disoriented but able to move. That would be me in the morning, every morning.
Yeah.
Just before coffee, yes.
Right?
See, they have to apply the coffee to me through a 500cc bag and an IV line.
Ah, yeah.
Character files opened.
So, we have got a pretty big guest cast tonight. Some we've seen, some we haven't seen.
Yeah, there's a lot of people joining on this episode. We have Mark Gomez as Isenson. He was the Damocles officer that brought some information in. This is his only appearance on Babylon 5. He was in a television movie called Murder in Space in 1984, and he did an appearance on X-Files. We have Bruce Gray as the interrogator. He made two appearances on Babylon 5. This is his second.
Now, in his last, he just kind of walked in and just started repeat. Now we actually have some use out of him.
Yeah, he gets a little more expanded. Mm-hmm. The lovely Marjorie Monaghan is number one for her fourth of seven appearances on Babylon 5. David heard him as Captain James. We've seen him before as Captain of the Agamemnon, and this is his second of three appearances on Babylon 5. Musetta Vander shows or acts as Felicia, and she is the representative that number one sends to guide everybody in to rescue Sheridan.
Right.
This is her only appearance on Babylon 5. She was also in Highlander and Star Trek Voyager.
Don't forget Stargate. She had a few appearances in SG-1. That's actually, believe it or not, I don't remember her from Voyager. I just remember seeing her in Stargate.
In Voyager, she was one of the many females that Harry Kim fell in love with.
Ah, yes. Was this a later season?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I quit watching after season three. That's probably why I don't remember her.
Well, you better get caught up. that was under guest stars. Under co-starring, we have Greg Poland as Guard, and he was the gentleman that was behind the glass. This is his only appearance on Babylon 5. He was also in Star Trek Insurrection, X-Files, and he made an appearance in Voyager. And under the featuring category, we have James Liang as the first guard. He's the one that spouts about the evils of television. A great scene. Okay, this is his only appearance on Babylon 5, and I didn't find any other genre credits for him. Anazila Scott as the assistant, and she was the assistant to the interrogator. Her only appearance on Babylon 5 and no other genre credits. And last, but probably not least, J.P. Hubble as Evan. And this is his only appearance on Babylon 5, and he was on an episode of Next Generation. So that is our cast. You know, one thing I do want to say about Musetta Vander is I wonder if she wasn't typecast, because if I were looking for, if I were making a World War II movie and I wanted a French resistance person to be a guide for somebody, this is the girl I would choose. She would be.
Yeah, though she's actually South African, And that just exhausted my knowledge of her.
Yeah, but she'd be perfect in a role like that as part of the French Resistance, mm-hmm. With the little hat and everything. That'd be cool.
There has to be a hat.
Well, yeah, you got to have the hat. I mean, it's widely known that everybody in the French Resistance wore a hat.
It's in the bylaws.
So at any rate, that was our guest cast, such as it is. Not a mm-hmm. lot of huge names, but a good cast. They did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Initiating plot analysis.
This episode kind of just starts in stream of consciousness. Literally, actually, because it seems that Sheridan's hallucinating Franklin.
Now, when I first saw that, it was like, hey, he's home?
You know? Yeah. Sort of like, okay, are we doing a flash forward of something? Or?
Yeah. But, you know, and then, of course, the next scene, it's like, oh, guess not.
Yeah. Because they're starting to finally really get into his head using drugs, but they're starting to get into his head now.
Mm-hmm.
And in that conversation with his new interrogator, it was interesting.
He's got his IV back.
But pumping him full of drugs.
Apparently with a few extra liquid sides, right? So the drugs that you mentioned.
Apparently they don't want to use his father. That kind of puts them in a do-or-die situation. And the idea is to get a real conversion.
Well, they're, as the interrogator says, what they're really looking for is repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not confession.
Yeah. True repentance.
We don't want a confession. We want repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And speaking of some repentance here, we hop over to Mike trying to reach the Mars Resistance.
Yeah.
Successfully, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Looks like he found them, or
they found him.
Yeah. they certainly seem to enjoy punching him.
Well, he's made a lot of people angry.
Right. He's not trustworthy as far as everybody except the viewing audience knows. So not mm-hmm. surprised that they gave him the five fingered hand, welcome in the form of a fist.
Yeah.
And we see a little more Mars Justice. Number one passes Franklin, PPG, and it's his right to kill Mike.
Yeah.
But,
and you know, Franklin's a doctor. He's not going to go against his oath. And, and besides, you know, him and Mike have been friends in the past. And of course he would be interested in understanding what the story is.
Right.
The people on Mars, they don't give a crap what his story is. He's done wrong and he needs to pay.
Yeah, and of course they don't believe his story at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, to someone that doesn't know Bester, it would sound a little strange.
Yeah, though, I don't know why, and I know JP's answer is going to be, but I don't know why he runs the whole Sheridan's on Mars, we got to get him now. It basically was the same line that he used to lure out Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They call him on it, too, right?
Yep.
So, you know, not surprised. They don't trust him. They're going to rough him up, and then the default is kill him.
Yeah.
Right.
The dude is awful. He's dirty. We just have the luxury to now experience the tension and the drama of knowing that it looks like he's okay. That Bester actually freed him.
Exactly. And that is... that's where I'm at. I don't know at this point if I actually trust him or not either.
What did Bester leave in that he didn't tell Mike about?
Oh, yeah. And that would be just like him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to find out because he asks Lita to do a deep scan.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the surface, but to take the ice pick and start digging.
And you know what? This just goes to illustrate just exactly how desperate Garibaldi is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he does not like telepaths. No way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Though he's made exception for her and for Talia.
Of course.
But it's always individual. As a class, no. Mm-hmm. And, okay, Lita's still a badass. Level 12 yeah. blocks.
Don't cross the redhead. Keep telling you this over and over again. Nobody listens, you know.
What a neat scene as she gets in his face, you know, gets close to him and whispers that the level 12 blocks thing to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like she's worried about giving herself away.
Or she's worried about him.
Possible.
She's not going to betray herself to the people around her who don't trust her anyway. But just prior to that, she warned him about the deep scan, how it could permanently damage him.
Yep.
What'd he say? I can. They're going to kill me, but I can get over a headache or whatnot. Well, mm-hmm. she looks in and sees these deep blocks, and I think she's like, "I'm going to tear you up."
Yeah, because I could says really, this is really hurt you.
Yes. Yeah. So yep. she's giving him a last chance to back off before she pulls the trigger.
But she goes all black eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Mike says, I need more fiber in my diet.
Yeah.
A little hint of the old Mike. Maybe the request for the deep scan and that desperation,
mm-hmm.
and then the comment like that suggests that maybe Mike is free.
Yeah.
Yep. Number one, still, you know, her the first things out of her mouth is almost what you would expect. It's like, why should I believe you?
And it's another makes sense, right? I don't trust mm-hmm. telepaths to begin with. You guys are buds, as far as I know. Yeah. And now, you know, you can't see a scan, so the telepath turns around and goes, yeah, he's good. He's telling the truth.
Well,
how do I know that?
Be careful what you ask for.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, she sure changes her mind quickly.
Yep. Just be glad Lita's on your side. Jim's line.
Absolutely.
Okay, Susan has put together one heck of a fleet.
Yeah, with Londo and Jakar's help.
Not yet. We haven't got there yet.
Okay.
She's going a little bit more aggressive than Sheridan, and she's not quite as nice as he is about it. It's just orders has even less weight with her than him, and she's gone dead stone cold.
Mm-hmm. She, you know, Ivanova shows herself here as a true warrior.
She's the military officer first and diplomat seventh.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is diplomat even on the list at this point?
Only when she parties with the Drazi or whoever that was that she got crazy with, but. Right, Sheridan seems to be equal parts diplomat and officer, but she's mm-hmm. she is military,
right?
First, and that's what we get to watch,
and only in this case. Okay, back to Mars. Mike knows where, but not how to get in. Number one knows how to get in, but doesn't have the people. So she tells him she can get him in, and that's it.
Yeah. And I don't think we mentioned it, but if somebody is daring enough to listen to us and not having ever seen the episode, the getting in and the having the people is because they have learned or know or discovered that the boss is on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's been held, or where he remains anyway. I think they knew when he was lured to Mars that it was a trap, but they know he's still there. So they're trying to spring him, which was that escape, rescue plan that you mentioned earlier.
So then have they taken Sheridan's father to Mars also? And are they holding him there? Or is Sheridan's dad still back on Earth being held?
From the sound of it, he's been transferred to Mars. I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like.
That was my
guess. We know what Sheridan knows in that regard, right? We know they've told him he's there. But we don't really know if he's there or not.
And the way they were talking about the threat to use, you know, discussing the threat to use his father, it would almost, you know, it kind of implies at least.
That they could, they could bring him out and use him if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got a third sort of thread going on this story. And it's going to actually be a lot more significant in episode 421 in some ways. Definitely. I know, and 420. Londo's called a council meeting without Delenn. It's like she's been sort of cut off from the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little put out about it. It's like, what's going on behind my back here? And they have a unanimous vote. And here, Jim, now we've got the cavalry coming to the rescue. And the little clip of the whole incident is just wonderful. If you've got that, let's play it.
Since the war, we have begun working together as never before. In the past, we had nothing in common, but now the humans have become the glue that holds us together.
If Sheridan's forces are defeated, then Earth will turn in upon itself. They will become isolated, or they'll turn against the rest of us.
Politically, it is very wise.
Morally, it is even wiser.
Politics and morality on the same side? That doesn't happen every day, Delenn.
If someone doesn't begin making sense here, I'm going to become most annoyed.
The League worlds have agreed to provide warships to Ivanova's fleet. We will do whatever it takes to help free Sheridan. It is right that humans lead the battle. It is their world, after all. But we can support them. Fight beside them as they fought beside us.
But why the secret ballot? Why were we not informed about this meeting?
To protect you. Some might accuse you of organizing military support, not because it is the right thing to do, but because of your relationship with Sheridan. Others might say the Council approved it for the very same reason.
We wanted to send a message that the Council speaks as one for the right reasons, not out of any personal agenda. Sheridan is not alone, and you are not alone. The League stands with you. We all stand with you.
So the known universe is falling behind Sheridan.
So it would seem.
What the shadows feared.
Yeah, and just before that clip, you know, Jakar points out that, you know, Sheridan has helped all of us in situations all along, and we owe it to him to do this.
Mm-hmm. Politics and morality.
Yep.
Together.
For once. Back on Mars, we actually get the one light moment of this whole episode.
Yes.
They're on their way in. And, okay, I've got a couple issues with their loadout going in to rescue Sheridan.
Yeah.
We're hitting the first one here, an old-fashioned canteen. Though the gulping is, well, go ahead and play it.
Okay. While this is playing, I'll gulp some tea.
This is going to take forever. You know that?
Yeah, I know. It's the only way, though, we're going to be able to get inside the perimeter.
I just hope the captain's still alive by the time we get to him. They've been working him over for more than a week.
I wouldn't worry about that. They're not going to kill him. They need him alive as long as possible. All right, who gulped? Somebody gulped. Look, we have got a long way to go. We're supposed to sip, not gulp.
I didn't go.
No?
I sipped.
You, I believe.
Well, now why do you believe her and not me?
Because when you lie, it's all over your face. She's a much better liar than you are.
Thank you. Wait a minute.
Look, the next time it's your turn to carry the canteen, I'm gonna gulp.
You are so petty, you know that?
What do you mean I'm a good liar?
Survival of the fittest.
Well, here she comes.
The way's clear. Let's go.
Okay.
Like when I'm hearing here, I'm not a great liar. I'm a terrible liar. You know, I don't know who's been saying these things, but I want you to know when we get back, I am gonna sue somebody. I don't know who and I don't know how, but guy, by God, I am gonna sue somebody.
Would you come on already?
They may not have help, but they've got Lita.
Yeah, and I think this scene also serves to show that the old Mike is back now.
Yeah.
And
I think you're right. I think more than anything else, I think that's what it did.
Right. Because Franklin is not acting any different than before towards Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though now in my mind, it would be a little bit soon to just take it at face value in real life.
Yeah. But this is the first time. I mean, this is the first time we've seen Mike as Mike, completely Mike, this entire season.
Yeah, for the show. Yes.
Uh huh.
He's been Mike all along, just not when it comes to Sheridan's authority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not in control. Right. Hasn't been in control, but now right. he's back. And this is why we can't go anyplace nice. Why can't we go anyplace nice?
Okay. Susan's plans have about to have a little bit of a twist thrown at them. Apparently, there's some moles because Clark knows where they're going next, and he's got an ambush plan with some sort of new ship.
Yeah. Well, they're told, you know, that they're told by Eisen, whatever his name is, I can't remember. But they're told that not everybody that has defected over to your side is what they seem to be.
Yep.
And, that shouldn't come as a surprise, but it kind of does when you first watch the episode.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, hey, they might even scan the commanders, you know, the captains.
Right.
And some of the command staff, but go down low enough level in the crew, and just like the Soviets of old, you know, there's shouldn't be a surprise that there's a mole somewhere.
Right.
And their plan's simple. Target the Earth ships.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be the most vulnerable against, at least presumably, against a fleet of white stars. And what we're going to see is, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Now this is where the new ships, the new Earth ships, show up that were mentioned also by the informant, isn't it?
Soon.
Okay.
Well, all we know now is that they're advanced. They keep saying advanced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They call the unit advanced or something like that. And we will get to see what that means here real shortly.
It certainly sounds like Clark's confident in them.
Well, at any rate, with these new ships, this isn't going to be good. Or it looks like
probably
it isn't
not
going to be good.
Or at least tough.
Yeah.
Okay. Back on Mars, we hit my second irritation about their loadouts. First of all, ouch. Mike gets stabbed. I guess it's a good thing that wasn't a K-bar, because that would have come out the other side, but at least yeah. they've got a doctor with them, right?
Very true.
Yeah.
But here's my irritation point. Okay, he's got all the suture kits and everything else, right?
Right.
What do they have in their IFACs? Seriously. No quick clot? Chest seals? I mean...
A Band-Aid? An ace wrap, something.
Oh, an Israeli bandage, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's techniques where you can use those on chest wounds, but maybe a halo seal and some quick clot, at least?
Yeah.
Those are small and light, and pretty much anyone in the infantry is carrying at least that right. on them. Today in 2018, if you don't right. mind us dating ourselves. Anyway, my other irritation.
We have sutures and a needle, though.
Yeah, and Franklin practically saying, here, put your finger here for me to tie off.
I'll defend the canteen from your first beef. I don't know how you improve on a canteen.
True.
Especially that one. Those bladders are good. Yeah. And you can use yep. them as a pillow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, anyway, on with the show. Susan's going in white star only. And Marcus nags, harangues, pushes her, practically threatens to pick her up and carry her off the bridge if she doesn't get some rest.
Well, he roughly tells her that he is not going to stop
annoying her,
haranguing her until she agrees. And she says, you're bluffing. And Marcus says, Rangers never bluff.
Yeah.
So.
And she gives in and
right.
takes a nap.
Speaking of bluffing, we've got Mike trying to bluff his way in to Sheridan's cell.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you play it. All I can say is typical guard.
Afternoon. We understand you've got Sheridan in there. I'm the one who turned him in. Maybe you saw me on ISN.
I don't watch TV. It's a cultural wasteland filled with inappropriate metaphors and an unrealistic portrayal of life created by the liberal media elite.
I couldn't agree more, Dr. Stevens.
Absolutely.
Good. Now that we've established some common ground, we'd like to see the prisoner.
I'm going to have to ask for your authorization.
Of course. And once we get the codes, we're in, right? Dr. Stevens?
Yeah, I've, here somewhere.
Did you get the codes?
He thought it as soon as you said it. 7, yeah. 12, 54, 50, 19.
Captain! Captain! Can you hear me? Captain!
Michael. Boy, I was gonna kick your butt for something, but I don't remember.
See now.
See? They have Lita.
Yeah, and the thing is, Raul, is earlier you said this was the that was the only humor, the gulping scene. The guard, after he said what he said, and if you think about it, this is so neat that he says this because it's so cliche.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they threw that in there on purpose. In order to just get a laugh.
Yeah, it was, and it was funny. I got to admit, I had a good chuckle on it.
Uh-huh. And then Sheridan is like, Michael, I was going to kick your butt for something.
Yeah, he remembers he's pissed at Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm mad at you, but I'm really mad at you.
Yeah.
The problem is, when we see Sheridan's flip side of that very thinking, it takes a little bit of a chill.
Yeah.
There's a little chillingness to that.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, but in kind of a backhanded sort of way.
Uh-huh. And we have a Joe Straczynski moment. Yeah, with Susan. Seems Susan's learned some Mbari.
Well, yeah. That is probably a good thing.
In one right way. Go ahead. Huh?
Well, you know, we don't want her to say, ah, hell again. And
Well, actually, I think in this case, we probably do want her at some point to do. But, well, go ahead and play it.
Okay.
The last time that we were in this room, you said something to me in Minbari. I happen to have an eidetic memory. It went, Nusan Fulani, in Alas Midron. You told me it was just a greeting.
Yes.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, I've learned a little Minbari since then. Thank you.
Nusan Tal.
Okay, this is Joe Straczynski we're talking about here.
Yeah, you know, Susan's just opened the door. Just a crack, you know.
Yep.
Marcus is feeling okay. You know, here I am, just one step closer to my goal, as far as Susan's concerned.
And she spurts all that out. Remember, he walks in the room and he waves his hand over her face very quietly and says, "You won't remember," or something mm-hmm. odd like that. And then she wakes up and says, basically, you know, I remember the last time we were in this room, and I'm not sure what the relationship between... I'm not sure what Marcus was doing or what she's not supposed to remember, but I thought that was kind of funny that he says, you won't remember, and she wakes up and says, you know, the last time we were here, and she's talking about something she remembers.
She wasn't By the as way, asleep as he thought.
Awesome tan on Susan, by the way, or was she maybe blushing a little bit?
Yeah, but you know something bad's got to happen.
What I was expecting is that she got that full 4 hours of sleep. She was supposed to only get 2, and then Marcus was supposed to get 2, and she wasn't even all that upset.
And what little she was, I thought he was funny, right? She, well, mm-hmm. What time is it? It's whatever time it was. But you've still got 45 minutes. That's plenty of time to wake up.
Right. Hey, that's time for a shower and breakfast.
Yeah.
Flipping back to Mars. Like I said, quick clot on the chest seal, huh? Little blood there, Mike.
Yeah, he's leaking a little bit.
And Sheridan still has a little bit of fight in him.
Yeah. Well, he seems to be recovering somewhat.
Yeah. And he gets hold of a PPG and pretty much just stands there and empties the cap into the guard.
Yeah. And my thought was, is after he finishes off the guard, he gives Garibaldi this look. And I'm telling you, that was murder in his eyes. And I'll tell you what, Mike is really lucky that Sheridan didn't do more than just give him a dirty look like that.
Yeah, you think Sheridan's memory's coming back a bit?
Yeah, well, he's more able now to do that butt kicking he was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And I think that Mike probably would have stood there and let him do it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think so. Though, I think at least, and I think under other circumstances, Sheridan might have been tempted to pull the trigger. But I think the way this is playing out, he might be honked, but he's going to find out what happens before he pulls the trigger.
Well, we know that Sheridan trusts Lita and he trusts Franklin. So if they're putting their trust in Mike, then
he needs to know more.
He needs to know more. Okay, we find out about these new advanced fighters.
Right. Uh-huh. Now we see it.
Destroyers, yeah.
Yeah. You're right, destroyers. I said fighters, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Enhanced with shadow tech.
Yeah, when you first see those, that is one heck of a holy crap moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and it's not just the it's not just the hulls. It seems they've got the shadow beam slicers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know why Clark's confident.
He sold out.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things Babylon 5 is really good at is the strong female leads. We saw DeLynn's in the middle of season 3. If you had to ask me some of the three best lines from women leads in media, I would probably put Sigourney Weaver, Aliens, get away from her line as the top. Absolutely as the top. I would probably put Sarah Connor from Terminator in number 4 slot. And we can argue about whether DeLynn or the line you're about to play takes 2 and 3. Go ahead and play that.
This is Captain Jake Thompson of the Advanced Destroyer Group to enemy vessels. We have you surrounded. You are ordered to surrender your vessels or be destroyed. I say again, surrender or be destroyed.
Put me on with him and give me firing control. This is the White Star Fleet. Negative on surrender. We will not stand down.
Who is this? Identify yourself.
Who am I? I am Susan Ivanova, commander, daughter of Andrei and Sophie Ivanov. I am the right hand of vengeance, and the boot that is going to kick your sorry ass all the way back to Earth, sweetheart. I am death incarnate, and the last living thing that you are ever going to see. God sent me.
That's another one of the lines that just gives you chills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Susan always has great lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably, I would think that at least a good portion of that is her delivery. that she knows how to deliver a line like that.
Yeah, whether it's comedy, whether it's this, or whether it's what we're going to see soon.
Now, who else on the show would be able to do that? I don't think anybody would be able to do that on this show with as much conviction as this woman did.
The only one was the other person that I mentioned with a similar kind of line.
Yeah.
Dylan. Yeah.
By the way, when Susan starts talking, if you dismiss her voice, the sound of her voice, you go, I know that's Susan. To me, it sounded like Dylan. The same rhythm or the pattern of speech, I don't know what the right phrase is, but when she starts out, it could have been Dylan saying the same line. She spoke in the same way, I thought. So it was neat that we've got both of these women at different points in the show delivering an incredible ultimatum.
With one small difference. In Susan's case, you could see, not just see, you could feel the literal rage building.
Yeah. I was more afraid of this, of Susan here, than I was of Dylan before. And I was pretty afraid of Dylan when she delivered her lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that was more for me of a yeah moment. This one was scary. Susan was angry and she played it well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In Dylan's case, there was the option of backing down. Not by her, but by the other. In this case,
there's no backing
down. She's there to destroy. Right. Period.
And she all but told him that. Mm-hmm. There was no get behind me, right?
Now she would have also, though, if Dylan had said this, she would have said, I'm gonna kick your sorry butt all the way back to Earth.
And the white stars, we when you see the shadow hybrid, you're wondering, but dang, the white stars are enough to wreck havoc.
Oh yeah,
it's not an easy fight, but they are they're not outdone by by the advanced group and their tech.
Yeah, it's almost, I mean, it's a pretty decisive win on their part. And ultimately, oh, gods, like I said, you knew something bad was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the enemy. It was the debris.
Yeah.
Marcus was okay, but oh, God, Susan's a mess.
Yeah, she's pretty busted up.
Yeah.
And now we start to get some reunions. Interestingly, John's not ready to talk yet, but hardly a surprise, really.
No, he needs to sort things out for himself.
And Dylan respects that. Susan is in the sick bay on the battle cruiser, and Marcus, amazingly, got the bed flat. And Jim, I will let you give the lead in for this. Anything? Just based on your comments about Susan's, Claudia's acting.
You
give the lead into this one.
Well, you know what? The entire cast that was present, it would include Marcus, it would include Dylan and John, and of course, Susan on the hospital bed. If you can watch this scene and not become personally involved, and very emotional over it. This is a five handkerchief scene coming up, and I'm not joking, because it is incredible. I mean, you have Susan lying on the table, mortally injured. She's not going to last more than a week, and she is still, I mean, the bravest person you could ever imagine. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go ahead and play it.
Hi. How are you feeling?
Not so good, John. We got them, did they tell you?
They told me.
There were more of them than us. And they fought like hell. We got them. Didn't we, Marcus?
We got them.
We cleared the way for you, John. All the way to Mars. No ambushes. No.
We should go. Marcus will stay with her.
Sean.
I'm here.
What?
They won't tell me the truth. You're my friend, John. Tell me. I'm not gonna make it, am I?
No. No, they say the damage is... I'm sorry, Susan.
So much guilt around in your life. Don't carry it anymore for me. Or I'm gonna come back and kick your ass. How long?
My doctors say promise only a few days, maybe a week.
See? It's not so bad. John, do something for me.
Anything. What is it?
It's not what.
I think also as much credit goes to David Eagle, the director, as should go to the actors too. And of course the person who wrote the scene.
Yeah, I'll grant that. I'll easily grant that. Especially on the director being able to come in and coax that kind of a performance out.
Yeah.
So yeah. True point.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, JP, on that?
I liked her last words in that audio clip you had where she was telling him not to carry the guilt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't said anything about that. I thought it was also neat watching Mike, because the attention is on Susan. And when she says, "You're my friend, tell me," you know, they won't tell me the truth. Am I going to make it? And he looks away at somebody almost like, I didn't think I would have to answer this question. Why is she asking me this? Is it okay to tell her? He's trying to burn through in his mind in fractions of a second. Do I say, I don't know? Oh, I think you're going to be fine. And you could just see all that churning in his head, and it looked real.
Yeah, it did.
And then he just tells her the truth.
Yeah.
Almost can't. I mean, he's going to tell her the truth, but he, you know, the damage is too, or the damage is, and he stopped there. And you're waiting for him to say too severe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't even finish it. But what right. What a amazing, sad scene. But wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it just looked so spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't look planned. It didn't look written. It looked like it was something that was actually happening.
You remember when Franklin was messed up and down below and in pain and all? And, you know, we all seem to agree he did a great job of showing us that pain very believably. Susan, or the actress playing Susan, just made Franklin look like a rookie, I thought. That this scene was huge. I hope people get shown this in acting school, or, you know, or however actors learn to do their craft, to say, look at this, because wow, this was amazing. It was believable.
This was one of Claudia Christian's best episodes. She got to work. She got to work the entire range of her acting ability this episode, and we see her last wish. We don't hear when she's talking to John.
Right.
A fitting one as well, I think. And you know what it's going to be when you see him stroll onto the bridge of the Agamemnon.
Yep.
So that's where he's going to lead the final assault.
Yep. And they are now on course for Mars. And that is where the show ends. Right there. Him sitting in the command chair of the Agamemnon. And we're headed for Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember your emotions the first time you saw this? You just got wiped out by Susan, and seconds later, you're excited on top of that for what's going to come next, and the show ends.
Yeah. At least today, we've got the option of watching it as just a continuous... I mean, these two episodes are the length of a small movie.
Yeah. See, and now, I don't remember if I saw it when it was originally on the air, because at least in the market that I lived in, this show bounced all over the place.
Yeah.
It bounced around. Sometimes it was on at 11 o'clock at night. Sometimes it was on at 9 o'clock at night. Sometimes they didn't have an episode for a few weeks. So
at this point, the syndication model, the PTEN sort of type syndication model, was starting to fall apart.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was bouncing around for a lot of people. In Southern Cal, it was really going all over the place, because on top of that, there was the competition between the show and Voyager by this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember if I saw it then or not. And the thing of it is that last scene with Susan, if I had seen that, I would have remembered seeing this show. I would have remembered seeing this episode, I'm sure.
But there was a first time you saw it, whenever that was.
Yeah.
And this is one of the episodes I remember the most out of the whole series, because at the end I was high and low at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally wiped out by what we just saw happen to Susan. And then, you know, I can't wait for the next... I wanted a break and I wanted more right now, all at the same time.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sitting there saying, you can't kill Susan. You absolutely cannot do this. Because I had no foreknowledge, of course, the first time I saw it. I had no foreknowledge of what was coming next. So...
Right. You know, and what was sad, though, if I remember correctly, by the time this aired, I thought, and maybe someone can correct me, but I thought by the time this one aired, it had been mentioned or at least rumored that Claudia may not be back in the next season.
Yeah, I wasn't. I
know there were
the
comments.
News.
Yeah. I thought there was some sort of rumors or something on Usenet. I just, like I said, I honestly can't remember for sure, but yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to give any closing thoughts for tonight's episode. I'm going to save them for next time, because it really picks up right where this left off and just cruises right on in.
Yeah, it does.
In any closing thoughts from either, though, I'll give you guys the opportunities.
No, I'd like to wait till next time.
Okay, I'll do that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And next time, on our next episode, we will be watching Endgame, the 20th episode of season 4. We got three to go, 2021 and 22.
Yep. And like I said, it literally just picks up where this one went off in a lot of ways. Wow. It's going to be powerful.
Yeah, it's a pretty fast ride to the end of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that mythical season 5 that we're going to be talking about.
Yep. And I guess from that, there's really only one thing to ask.
What could that be?
Was there any boom today?
I think there was quite a bit of boom today. What about you, JP? What do you think?
I think there was more boom than we've seen in a while.
I bet you there's going to be more boom tomorrow.
Oh, a whole lot of boom tomorrow. It doesn't matter if there's boom today, because there's always boom tomorrow. Always.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, we'll see you later. Say good night, JP.
Good night, JP.
Podcast terminated. Thank you for listening to the Babylon Project podcast. You can email Raul and Jim at thebabylonprojectpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Babylon Project Podcast. On the internet, we are at babylonprojectpodcast.wordpress.com. To subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes, or you can subscribe to the RSS feed on the webpage.